You know, the gospel message is in that song. It's Amazing Grace. It's only Him that can make an orphan feel like he belongs in the family. And it's so awesome to be able to know that our God loves to take the orphan and bring him into a family of God. And you know, just a few weeks ago when Patricia Bootsma was here, she spoke a prophetic word over us that there'd be many people, many young people, many youth and young people and young adults come into our fellowship with an orphan heart, with an orphan spirit on them, and that it was up to us to be moms and dads to be able to pull them into the family so that they could be brought up and feel no longer like an orphan, but they would feel like they're part of the family of God. And so this is a mandate, I believe, that God wants us to walk in. It is so important for us to be able to be a people who are saying, yes, Lord, bring them in. We'll receive them, Lord. We'll treat them like family, God. We'll just bless them and do everything we can to...
Okay, I can talk with this one. We want to share about something that I believe that many of the people of God even looks at very lightly. I know I certainly did years ago. I looked at the whole area of covenant.
Hey, what's happening here? Okay, am I on now? Okay, I'm back. Don't lose me. Covenant awareness. That... So we see signs somewhere, you know, we see beware. Sometimes you're driving down the street, you see beware of children. You might say, you know, beware of pedestrians. You might say beware of dogs. Another sign I've seen one time, beware of wife. That's a scary one. There's all kinds of things to be aware of. And sometimes they're cautionary words or cautionary signs for us to be aware of things that could possibly injure us or get us into trouble. Well, I want to suggest to you this morning that one of the things that we need to be aware of is aware of our covenant, the covenant that we have in God, the covenant that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to share some things concerning that this morning so that we can actually appropriate some of the promises that come to us through the covenant relationship that we have with the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And often this isn't spoken about, but if we will look into the deep things of the covenant of God, the things that we recognize that Jesus did for us and made available to us, it can open a whole new area for us. It can open a whole new dynamic for you and I to live as kingdom citizens upon the earth. I want you to keep this in mind, that we as a people of God, those of us who is called on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, we enter into the kingdom of God. Therefore, we are considered kingdom citizens with kingdom rights and kingdom benefits. We're citizens of the kingdom of God, citizens of the kingdom that gives us privileges but also responsibilities. But we cannot grasp those privileges. We cannot receive those privileges unless we understand what covenant is all about, or what covenant means, or even that we are in a covenant. I know I was a Christian before, for quite a while before I really recognized any kind of significance when it came to the covenant that Jesus Christ made with the Father, Jesus as a man, the agreement, say covenant is an agreement, that he made with the Father as a man, which opened the door for you and I to be able to come into his presence. Because you see, the Bible says that no sin will enter the presence of the Father. If we only knew that, if that's all we heard, we'd be in a desperate situation. If that's all we ever heard, that the Father would never allow anybody to come into his presence carrying sin on them, man, that would put us in a desperate situation. We'd be hopeless, really, if that was the end of the story. But I'm so glad today to know that that's not the end of the story. When I began to read the scriptures, when I began to understand the scriptures, when the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and cause me to realize that I was in the wrong path in life, I realized I was in a desperate situation. From what I had read to a certain point, that I knew I had committed so many violations when it comes to the way God wanted me to live, that it seemed like I was in a hopeless situation. But I continued to read then and to find out that Jesus came to give me hope. Jesus came to turn that hopeless situation around so that I could come into the presence of God. I could have my sins washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore now I was a candidate to come into the presence of God and to hear those words, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Isn't that an awesome phrase to hear? You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. To hear the Father saying that. And that's what he desires, to call out to each and every one of us. He wants to embrace us. And that's why he sent the Lord Jesus Christ, to make covenant with him as a man. Jesus is and was and always will be God, but he walked this earth as a man. And he broke covenant with his Father. Because Jesus, as a man, did that, you and I have now been set free because of Jesus' perfect sacrifice, Jesus' perfect covenant that he made with the Father, perfect agreement. He stood in the place of a sinless man to make atonement for all sin of mankind. Glory to God. That's the awesome message of Jesus Christ. So I want to look at a few scriptures this morning concerning the covenant. But we'll go on and get into other things as well, because we want to partake in the covenant meal this morning. We don't do this every Sunday, but we do it at least once a month. And therefore, we want to share a little bit around what that means. You see, a covenant was often ratified by a covenant meal, ratified by agreements that would come between one tribe and another. They would make certain establish agreements of what they would do, and they'd back each other up and so forth. And actually, one of the agreements that they would make as tribes would make one with another, they would say that if any enemy comes against you, we will stand with you and fight with you. That's a strong covenant. In other words, they would even say that we will give our lives to protect you. And that's what happened when Jesus made covenant with the Father, that the Father is saying, hey, now you're in agreement with me, you're in my family, then all my resources are at your disposal. All my resources. When the enemy comes against you like a flood, he will raise up a standard against him. So thank God we have somebody on our side who is so powerful. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. The writer of Hebrews speaks about the covenant that Jesus made with the Father, and he said this, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." I will put my laws into their hearts. You see, God is saying that I don't want to have to deal with a people that I have to hang over all the time with a whip and to beat them into submission and to do the right thing. That's not the kind of relationship he wants to have with you and I. He wants to have a relationship with you and I so that we take on his attributes, that we begin to live a life the way he lives it, actually, in a place of being without sin, but being empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to live according to the laws and decrees that mankind was given to live by. Not just God's people, all of mankind was given these laws to live by. This grace is made available to all mankind. And when we operate outside of those laws, then we reap the fruit of it, which is not very beneficial, generally speaking. So whenever we see society operating outside the laws of God, outside the boundaries or the parameters that God has set for humankind to live by, they are really living on a road that will bring desperation, that will bring disaster eventually. And we don't have to look too far to see some of the things that have happened around the world that will release very much destruction upon the world. I was listening to a man in India just recently who is the head of one of the parties in India, which is a Muslim country. And he was quite upset. He was a Muslim, of course, but he was exhorting North America to begin to take a look at their society. And he was saying, he was actually rebuking North America for not taking a stronger stand on the radical Islam. Because he said, look at India. Look at what has taken place here in India. This country is mostly Muslim. Is this the way you want North America to be? to take a look at society here. See what it's like. See the devastation that so many people live in. Is this what you want to bring to North America? He was actually exhorting North America to wake up. To wake up. Why? Because he sensed that they were living in a disaster situation, and the major belief in India was really not helping them at all, was not bringing them life. And why is because some of the things that they choose to live by are outside the boundaries that God has set to live by. One of the major boundaries that God has set in place for you and I to live by today in the new covenant which we live in is that God is a loving Father. He loves us, and He desires for us to come into His family in peace, not hatred. God is a God of love, and He's a God of justice now too. But He puts out to us a hand of love. He makes that available to you and I. And if we will choose love, then we will choose a life that lives and breathes the Father's love, the Father's grace. Now, the Scripture says that the covenant that we have is that God puts in us, in our hearts, His laws, His boundaries, His ways. He puts them in our hearts. Man has all true life been plagued with all kinds, different kinds of government. And we in North America think that democracy is the best form of government. Well, I'm not absolutely convinced that it's the best form of government, but it well might be for mankind. It's certainly up there for sure. But God's original plan for mankind was to be governed internally. God's original plan was to know God's laws, to hear God's laws, and then live out of knowing His laws. Man was meant to govern himself as opposed to an external government. Man was meant to govern himself when it comes to doing right or wrong things. Remember in the book of Genesis, God spoke to Cain when Cain was about to sin against Abel. And God told Cain, Cain, be careful. Sin is crouching at the door. Is after you. And actually, God was giving Cain an ability, a choice. He wanted them to choose life, but he didn't. You see, before Adam fell in the garden, Adam was living and breathing God. He was living and breathing in an environment where God was present. And he was following God's laws. It was so easy. He wanted to fulfill everything that God ever desired of him. And he lived in absolute joy and peace. But we know from the Scriptures that when Eve was tempted, and then Adam went along and man fell, then everything changed because man was separated from God, and man no longer had a free access to God. Man had to come then to God in a different form, which we really can't get into today. But the point is that when God made man, He made man to govern himself. You see, man was never to have dominion over another human being. Man was never to have dominance over another human being. Man was designed to govern himself. With God's help, of course, being in communion and relationship with God, man was to shun from evil things and embrace the good. That was man's original design. And so in Hebrews, we read that God was making a covenant with man, and he said, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And then over in Hebrews 12:24, it says, but you have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Again, speaking about covenant and the importance of it. I'm going to explain just again about covenant in about 2 seconds. Hebrews 13:20 says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will. So again, is speaking about the covenant that we have with the Father, and the writer here of the book of Hebrews is praying that we might be filled with the peace of God, that we might be thoroughly cleansed by the everlasting covenant to do the will of God. So to be in covenant relationship with the Father means that we have covenanted with him. We made an agreement with him that we would do his will, that we want him to write his laws on our hearts. And what that really means is, let me explain it to you the way I've experienced this. When I came into the kingdom of God, there was a lot of stuff I did that didn't belong in the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit would convict me that I was not to do certain things and other things I should do. And one of the things, I was a dope head when I got saved. I used to take drugs and I used to do these things. And when I came into the kingdom of God now, when I began to understand the things about the kingdom of God, I often never related to some of the things I was doing as being foreign to the things of the kingdom of God. But yet when I would do certain things, I would be so convicted. I just didn't want to do them. I remember when I'd continue to smoke dope and I'd get high, and all the time I was high after that, I wanted to be straight. I would be so convicted. I didn't anything to put this behind me and just get straight again. Because there was something on the inside of me now, because I called out to Jesus to save me. I called out to Jesus to have his precious blood cleanse me from my sin. Then something happened on the inside that my old dead spirit came alive on the inside and began to convict me, began to lead me, began to guide me. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, the Bible says. So the Spirit of God began to lead me to put these things away. And I would gradually get rid of some of these things till I came to the place where I absolutely did not want to have anything else to do with drugs. I totally put them aside. It wasn't that I had to live like this. Boy, I got to live like this to please God. It's that the want to do the drugs was now gone. Amen. And boy, that's a different way of living than trying to live by some rule. The want to was gone. The deliverance came. The freedom came. And I've never wanted to go back there again. And so that's what speaks to us when God puts his laws on our hearts. That's what it means, that our want to shifts, our want to changes, and we begin to want to do the things of God. We begin to want to enjoy the things of God. We love the things of God. I mean, when I first started understanding some of the things about God and about learning a little bit about the things of the Word, Debbie's parents used to talk in front of me about the things of God, and I thought they were weird. I thought they were really weird. I mean, they went to church 3 times a week. I thought that was weird. I thought that was strange for anybody to ever want to go to church 3 times a week. Well, then, not long after, when God began to convict me and change me, man, I couldn't wait to get there to be with the body of believers. I was so enthused about the things of the Lord. Well, something happened on the inside to give me a love for those things, that I didn't have to be whipped into doing anything. I want to do those things. I still drink and do dope as much as I want to. I just don't want to anymore. I just don't want to. And that's the way God has designed you and I to be governed, that the want to live for God is there. Oh, man, time is going too fast. I'm just going a whole bunch of places here I never intended to get into. But God said that he wants to write his laws upon us. Now, let me just give you a couple of things this morning concerning, I consider this one of the most important aspects of the scriptures, of knowing our Heavenly Father. Let me read to you a few things that Jesus said about his ministry and about the goal that he wanted to reach. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me," Jesus was saying, "you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him." Why? Because Jesus is a perfect reflection of our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, "I am the way." When somebody tells you to come along with me, I know the way, you expect to be going somewhere, don't you? You know, somebody says, "Well, I know the way to this place. I know the way to the best restaurant down in Charlottetown, so I'm going to follow you." Well, Jesus said, "I am the way." The way to where? Jesus said his life was consumed with revealing the Father. He actually wanted to show us the Father. Everything that Jesus did had to do with showing the Father what he was like. He wanted his people to be able to experience his Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus was pointing people to the Father. In other words, I am the way to the Father. I am the revelation of the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus is pointing us to the Father. His whole life was filled with the desire to reveal the Father. And Satan's desire is to keep him hid. Satan's desire is to make you think that the Father is an angry God, waiting to just cast you into a pit of hell if you'll do anything wrong. The enemy wants you to believe that the Father doesn't care about you. And soon as you do things that is wrong, the Father is angry at you. He might even convince you that when you do something wrong, the conviction that is coming upon you is God's anger. The enemy might try to convince you of that, but in fact, it's God's wooing you back because that conviction is saying, don't continue on that road because if you do, it's going to lead you to destruction. And so even the conviction of God is the loving heart of the Father going out to you to turn around and come back to him where it's safe. You see, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit is absolutely crucial to every single one of us, even those of us who is called on the name of Jesus Christ to be saved. We need the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to keep us straight when we go wrong. We need not to be comfortable in our sin. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit brings us back to him. He draws us back to himself. Jesus came to reveal that heart of the Father. You see, if we were to study the Old Testament only, we would see God. We'd see a side of God that I don't know if I want to go near. We would see the side of God that we probably want to run from. But in the New Testament, things shift completely. Jesus came. The love of the Father began to be demonstrated through the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that happened to him. When I think of what Jesus went through for you and I to have relationship with the Father, I am absolutely awed and never want to dishonor his suffering that he went through so that you and I could have relationship and covenant with the Father. Now, real quickly now, let me explain to you what covenant relationship is all about. And I know I've used this many times. Those of you who have heard me say it before, bear with me. Try to get something else out of it as I share it. But I know of no greater example of a covenant relationship upon the earth is when two people come together, man and woman come together to be married. And they come together and they make certain vows. They're actually making a vow, a covenant marriage agreement. And one person says to the other person, all that I have, all that I am, now belongs to you. That person then looks at the other person who just proclaimed that and says, all that I am, all that I have, now belongs to you. Now think of that. There was a day when you and I came into covenant relationship with the Father. When I come to come into covenant relationship with the Father, I was basically saying, Father, all that I am, all that I have, now belongs to you. And that was one part of the covenant. But the best part of it was here, my Heavenly Father said, and all that I am, all that I have, now belongs to you. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Isn't that what the Father said to the elder brother when the prodigal son came home, came back in the Gospels? The prodigal son came home and the elder son was jealous because the father was making so much of this son who was lost and now was found. And he was whining about it really, but the father said, son, you can have a party anytime. All that I have is yours. Everything that I have is yours. You just need to partake of it. And that's what our Heavenly Father is saying today to every one of us. All that I am, all that I have, now belongs to you. That's why I have confidence when I began to pray before God. If there's something in my body that needs to be healed, if there's something that I need and I'm praying to God, I have confidence that the Father's resources are available to me. That I don't have to go there with, Father, please, I'm begging you, bring healing to my body. I'm confident that he wants me to be healed just as much as you would want one of your children to be healed. If one of your children broke their leg, you wouldn't go and begin scolding them for what they did. You would begin, the first thing you would do is want to patch that leg up and get that leg healed, wouldn't it? Well, that's the first thing that the Father wants to do. When something happens to us and we miss it, we're out of relationship with God, the very first thing God wants us to do is get back into relationship with him so that we can receive the benefits that he has to pour out on us. Amen. He wants to bring healing to relationships. He wants to bring healing to our physical bodies as well. Jesus paid that price. If we read Isaiah 53, we can read about that very clearly. That speaks to us about the love of God. Now, I want to mention some things to you that may be a little bit difficult. But I want to stand before you and declare to you not just one side of our Heavenly Father who is love. He is all love. But the Bible also says he is a just God. God is a just God. And he actually says in the scripture, if you continue to sin, I will not hear your prayer. In other words, if you don't pay attention to him, if you don't have any concern for him, I will not hear your prayer. The only prayer really that a sinner can really cry out for is, Lord, save me, help me, change me, make me new. Well, let me read to you in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah speaks to us about the priests and the Levites, the Levite priests that were leading the nation of Israel. Jeremiah 6:13 says, because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. In other words, the priest and the prophet, the preachers of the day, were dealing falsely with the people. And what were they saying? They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And in other words, the prophet and the priest were basically going to people and rubbing their back in their sin, and they were helping them just a little bit. They were helping them slightly to try to make them feel good and saying everything is all right when God is saying everything is not all right. You can't declare peace, peace to everybody when there is no peace. Right. And so we do need to emphasize the love of God to our friends and neighbors and everybody around us, but also somehow have to help them to realize that they're in a place of danger if they're outside the family of God, if they're outside the covenant of God. You see, you have to tell the whole story. I can't just tell you one side of the story. I have to tell you very clearly that if we're outside the covenant relationship with the Father, then we're out of peace. We're on the road to death. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The fruit of sin is death. And the Bible also says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So every single one of us need a Savior. Say amen if you agree with that. Every one of us need a Savior. And Jesus is the Savior that we need. Now I'm going to move on because we want to partake in the covenant meal. I'm going to read very quickly to you the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. And this is what the Apostle Paul says when you're coming up to the covenant meal, because we are declaring a covenant relationship with God when we partake of the covenant meal. But let a man, that could mean a man, a woman, a child, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup of the covenant meal. For he who eats and drinks is in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Not understanding what it means to be in covenant relationship with God. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Now here the Apostle Paul is talking to the church of Corinth, and he said, if you would judge yourself in these things, you would not be judged. But if we come to the communion table lightly, then we open ourselves up to judgment. For this reason, Paul says, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, or many have died, because they didn't handle the body of Christ properly. Derek Prince, the theologian, really, Derek Prince, he said this, I suppose this reason could well be the major cause of sickness among Christians today. I have to say with deep regret that many Christians do not treat one another at all like fellow members of the body of Christ. And he says, this could be one of the main reasons why many people are sick today, because they do not properly discern the Lord's body. So as we come to the communion table this morning, I want us to recognize that we are coming to a holy, holy time in the body of Christ. We are declaring our covenant relationship with God. Would you stand with me, please? What does it mean to have covenant relationship with God? It means that we are to be a people. We are to be a people who have called on the name of Jesus Christ to wash away our sins. And I want us to examine ourselves right now before we come. Holy Spirit, I ask you, examine each and every one of us today so that we might see that there's nothing between us and you. There'd be nothing distorting the covenant, that we wouldn't be holding on to a covenant of sin and death, but we would want to release that and enter into a covenant of God with you, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And as we come to you this morning, Lord, we want to confess you. Confess Jesus as Lord. Let's pray this prayer together. If you've never prayed it before, let it be a confession of faith that you want Jesus in your life. If you've prayed it before, then make it a declaration, a decree. You're declaring once again that you are part of the family of God. I invite you to come to the cross today and have all our sins washed away. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I realize I need a Savior. I realize that the Savior that I need is the Lord Jesus Christ. I come to you now. I ask you for forgiveness of all my sins. I pray that the blood of Jesus Christ would cleanse me from all my sin. I ask that you take me, receive me into your kingdom. I pray in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Now you might say, Pastor, that's a pretty simple prayer. That's a pretty simple door opener. Well, I want to say that is a door opener. And if you will hold on to that, if you meant that from the bottom of your heart, if you make a choice for Jesus today, I declare that there will be a change take place in your life. That suddenly you'll find there's some things that you didn't care about in the past will become so important to you. You will just absolutely begin to love the things of God like you never have before. You have been created for divine purpose. You have been created for greatness. And as you invite God to move into your life in this fashion, you will find that there'll be a new vitality. Because it will be like that. You've heard the term born again. Well, it will be like experiencing life all over again, a new zest in life because of what God has done for you. If you're a believer this morning, if you've prayed that prayer and you've meant it, I invite you to come to the communion table this morning and partake in the covenant meal. As you take it, you're declaring that you're in covenant with God.